Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast. Brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
I'm going to get a good payday, whatever happens. I wish Lummy Charlie. I can't wait to get in for a bite. Clear off out of the way.
This is a British Open Week edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling. Don't wait for comfort with Area Heating and Cooling. Go to areaheating.com today, your local train comfort specialists. It's hard to stop a train.
It's British Open Week on Prime Time with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
Hello.
What?
I think Mike Riley was saying hello from San Antonio in the new...
Is he gone?
AA, whatever the hell that is. Yeah, he's out.
He's already gone?
Well?
Dead.
No, not dead. Just not coaching your Oregon State Beavers.
Back in the day now.
So he's already the head coach of the San Antonio whatevers?
Whatevers. Of the American Alliance?
And they don't start playing until
something.
I mean, they're next year, right?
Yeah, it's spring league.
Yeah, so what the hell is he doing right now? They don't even have any players.
I don't know.
Are you sure he's gone?
Yes, he is not coaching at Oregon State.
Okay, but you don't know if he's in San Antonio, though.
No, I don't know if he's... Although, he's got a home down there.
He's probably vacationing.
Yeah, wherever he's at. I mean, he vacations this time of year down in Texas. I do know that he's not at Oregon State. He is no longer coaching at Oregon State.
Don't vacation in Texas.
No?
No.
I'm kicking around with... Because... I haven't really done anything this summer, so the kids and I were noodling with ideas. We're vacation free agents right now. We're gonna do something in August because once you know football starts, you're kind of landlocked here till you know December, January, and I don't know where to go. I'm kind of in a little bit of a vortex right now.
What if you do a staycation?
Well, we've looked at that, but you know
those are great.
Well, like Bend or actually, I don't want to stay in the house. I want to go somewhere.
Oh no, a staycation is you stay in the house and just veg out for
staycation
a couple days.
Staycation is you just take days off and you don't. I mean, you don't have any plans.
Yeah, but the kids, I mean, that's what they've been doing during the summer. So I actually want to do something for the kids.
This is about you, Suk.
No, I actually try, believe it or not, to be a halfway decent dad like 40% of the time. My son is an idiot. Well, that's true. Let's say more like 25% of the time. But, yeah, last year we on a lark went to San Francisco, had a great time.
Go to New York City.
That's a bit spendy, my man. It's a bit spendy.
Well, you make big radio money.
There's four of us and flying out to New York and hotels and whatnot. So we were going to try to do houseboat. I thought like houseboat, maybe Lake Shasta, Billy Chinook. Mm. Have you seen what houseboats are to rent for like 5 days? It's like $3,000-$4,000.
Renting your own houseboat?
Yes.
Down there?
Yeah.
No, I have not seen that.
Little spendy. Again, dropping $3,000 to $4,000 for 4 to 5 days of a houseboat. And that doesn't include the fuel or anything like that. I mean, you're into that thing 5Gs.
Go to Seattle.
By the time you're done.
How about that?
Yeah, we've talked about it. So like I said, we're kicking around some ideas.
Ooh, Vancouver, BC.
Mm-hmm.
We've done a good road trip.
Yep. BC, Seattle, Bend, Sun River.
San Juan Islands.
Yeah, we've talked maybe even going as big as like going like Yellowstone, making that drive.
I have a controversial take about San Juan Islands.
Go for it.
We went up there a couple years ago.
Not a fan?
No, loved it. It was beautiful. Great spot. Very relaxing. But I don't know that I would go there again without a boat.
Okay, I can see that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you really need, and I know you can probably rent them or...
Renting watercraft, though, I'm telling you, because we've looked at that, even like going to a lake and just renting a boat, like getting a house and then renting a boat to go out on. For whatever reason, renting a boat is the most expensive thing you can do on the planet, evidently.
So if you have somebody with a boat,
yeah,
or you have a little dinghy, you can drive up there.
Yeah. That's a little better.
Do it that way. Because, you know, you just get stuck otherwise. Like,
yeah.
You can't really go anywhere. I mean, it's cool, but I would only go back there for an extended period anyway with a boat or access to a boat.
I looked. There's some cheap airfare to San Diego. So we talked about maybe bumming around. You can get round trip to San Diego right now for like $170. So we were noodling with maybe that.
Nashville's nice.
Yeah. The, again, maybe the airfare thing. When you got four people and you get into that $400 or $500 airfare for four of you, already that's it adds up real fast.
So what's your limit? What do you want to spend on them?
Yeah, something in the total trip in that like probably $3,000 range.
Whoa.
Something in that general area.
Big radio money guy.
No, that's not big radio money.
Bro.
But if you spend $15,000 to $2,000 on the airfare, that kind of kills the rest of your budget.
Well, Jason,
I'm not Isaac Ropp. I'm not 2.5 weeks in Italy.
Hey, go to Italy. Take him out there. Take him out there.
Hey, kids, we're going to Italy. No.
Maybe someday. Hey, that was a dream trip. We had been planning that trip for years.
Yes.
And now we're like, well, I don't know. We may not travel much next year.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you have to slow it down.
That's a lot of a travel budget in one trip.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was a big baller trip. Yeah,
understand.
And it's like, man,
you got to scale back. And plus, you guys just, you know, with the one kid, it makes it a little easier. You get a couple others. Those kids, financial burdens 1, 2, and 3, I call them.
Go to Leavenworth, Washington, says someone on here.
What?
Yeah. It's a great town.
Really?
Yeah. Great, great little town. I've never been in the summer. I went in the winter and it was beautiful. It's kind of like being up in the Swiss Alps up there. And you can drive there. You don't have to fly.
See, driving is preferable.
You can go to Salina, Kansas.
The all-American city.
Although, hey, I'll tell you, it's tough to get there.
Yeah, again.
It's tough. You can fly into Kansas City, you can fly into Wichita, or you can fly into Salina, but you're paying more. So it's just it's a tough place to get to. Very remote, very exclusive place.
Can we stay down in the murder dungeon that you have down there at Mom and Pa Rob's house?
I don't think my parents would want you to stay at their house. No.
No?
No.
That's a little
Especially with your wiener kids.
That's a little disappointing.
They don't want you there.
I can at least come and see the green shag carpeting.
I like the San Diego idea. Perhaps I would do this.
San Diego, you got baseball too. The kids like going to baseball games.
Oh, baseball. You got to love baseball.
Yeah.
San Diego or Vancouver, BC. Those would be my two choices for you.
Yeah. So this weekend, we're going to pool some ideas, some thoughts, and then come up with a plan of attack. See, like you do the Italy thing. I don't plan out enough. I'm not a planner and there's no one to plan. It's just me. And so we end up just kind of doing the, this looks all right. Let's try this. We're more of a wing and a prayer sort of vacation family over on the Secantic side of things.
Hey, we've got big show news.
We do.
Yeah. Are you ready?
Am I aware of this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. It's not really show news, but it involves guys on the show. And we want to report to the people. Big day for Mike Lynch today.
Yes. Huge day for Mike Lynch. Although I'll tell you, he's a little nervous.
Well, yeah. Wouldn't you be? Don't you remember the first time you put an offer in on a house?
Yeah.
Dude, that's exciting times.
Mike Lynch.
Very stressful day for me today.
Nice work, Mike. Ballin'. He put down a big offer.
Dollar bills,
he dropped a bag of cash
on the
realtor's desk and said, here, bitch.
Big sweaty wad. He made it rain. Did you just throw stacks of hundies at her, Mike?
Except this.
It was stacks of ones, but yes.
And her name is Mandy, which is always fun. I find like... I
no,
find,
that's his realtor.
I know, his realtor.
I was talking about the realtor for
Oh, their realtor.
Ooh. You say realtor.
Yeah.
My wife says that. I don't think that's correct.
No?
It's realtor.
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 Yeah.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. I've heard it both ways, but I'll go...
There's
I'll go
no ahead. Extra E.
Yeah, there's no... It's not realtor.
Realtor.
There you go.
There you go.
Can we try it again?
Realtor.
Very good, Jason.
Yay!
Cute.
But his is named Mandy, and I find Mandy to be a very fun, whimsical name.
Mandy?
Yeah.
All right.
Mandy
That's
just
Jeff Russ' wife.
Yeah, Mandy just seems like a gal that likes to have a good time.
How about a little plug for her real estate company?
There you go. You can't feel bad about hanging out with Mandy.
Mandy Rust.
Yeah. And I do know that Mandy Rust likes to party. I've heard the stories.
She's representing the Lynches, and the Lynches put an offer in on a little place.
Mm-hmm.
And there's already another offer in on the place. So.
Yeah, so it's a little stressful right now.
A little dicey right now.
Yeah, a little bidding war.
Mike wrote a little note trying to.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Look at you're nervously bouncing right now.
Yeah.
Well, it's fun. It's exciting.
Dude, this is like...
That's exciting.
2 years ago, we tried to buy a home.
I'm happy for you.
And the market, I mean, it still is insane, but was completely like undoable for us. The last 2 years, we have been saving our ass off. For every month, we're putting almost all of our money into savings. We've barely done anything. So the fact that we had, after 2 years, enough to enter the house market, which is still insane... is really exciting, but also really nerve-wracking.
Yeah. I've heard that it's retreated a little bit here recently, but yeah, it's still crazy here. We're still in our house.
You are?
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you want to buy it?
It's good to be. No, because I'll put this out there.
No, I don't want to steal Mike's thunder.
Just for the how crazy it is right now with Mike. So this is Mike's first house, right?
Yeah.
And you're what, 27?
29.
Oh, he's already 29.
Yeah, 29. You're getting
that
old.
Happened fast.
So this is my fourth house. I turned 40 this year. I won't say what you offered on your home, but your house, if you buy this, more expensive than my house.
Currently?
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Mike Lynch's house, if he purchases this, will be more expensive than my home.
I will say that your offer is double what I paid for my first home. But I would also say that the house that you just offered is way, way nicer than my first house, which was a dump. It was a total dump.
Bro. It's almost everything that we wanted in a home. And it just literally, our lease in our apartment is up in October. And they were like, hey, you should probably start looking now. Because, you know, it's going to take a couple months, you know, all that kind of stuff. And literally days after we decided to call up Mandy Rust again and be like, hey, we want to start looking again, this house dropped in the market. And we were like, well, that's awesome.
There it is.
Just know that your mortgage greater than mine.
I don't have any thought that it's not. It's going to be a big mortgage.
Lynch is growing up. I just love this so
good
much.
Good for Mike.
And I hope you get it. But if you don't, there will be more. It's kind of like women, you know. It's like,
there's another one that comes along.
There's right? Whatever, part of me in the back of my head is expecting not to get it because the fact that the open house hasn't even happened and there's already multiple offers on it, that's a little nerve-wracking to me, but we'll see. Yeah.
Are you going to up your offer? Are you gonna get into a pissing contest?
No.
Why not?
We already upped the offer from what we were going to spend on it. I don't have a lot of wiggle room here, Rob.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy out there. 2 years, a little over 2 years, it's been what, 2.5, almost 3 years since I bought my home, this one in Vancouver. And I did make an offer on our home, and I made an offer $30,000 over asking and didn't get it.
Mm. Yeah, I think as recently as...
I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, money ready to go, everything. I knew there'd be other offers. So I thought we were real safe. I really wanted the house, and no.
Yeah, I think as recently as early this year... Anything going on the market, there was such a shortage. I mean, our realtor said, I mean, you'd most of them would all have multiple offers within a day.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. So I've heard it slowing down a little bit, but apparently not that much.
So we will keep you abreast of Mike's situation.
And I'm assuming we're going to have a housewarming party, right?
I'll be there.
Mike?
Sure. He says.
Sure. Yeah.
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 He doesn't want us over
no.
there. But you know what's next?
Coming over there to trash the place.
He goes and gets a house. How long before she's preggers?
Well, I put the over under because we talked this. We figured 9 months for obviously the gestation period there. So I think we had the over under on the Lynch baby. We just did this a couple months ago. I think we put it at what, 17 months? So it's coming. It's at, look at she may be pregnant right now. Look at him.
No, no, no.
Mike, is she pregnant?
No.
She's pregnant, huh?
No. Not yet.
Whose is it?
Mine, I hope.
As your wife and my kid.
All right. Man, we've got a lot to do today. We really do.
Do we?
I mean, yeah.
Okay. All right. Good answer. Good answer. Let's go with that.
Yeah, we do.
No summer league titles to discuss anymore.
Carmelo Anthony just got traded. I don't know if you saw that.
And then cut.
What else? We have the Open.
Mm-hmm.
We have fun with audio today. We're going to hear how unfunny Danica Patrick is. And
yeah, people. Now, we didn't hear this because we don't have sound in here. It was on the TV, but people are making that out to be like the worst thing ever.
It's not.
No, I didn't.
I've heard it. It's not.
I didn't listen to the whole thing, but I went and listened to clips of it this morning.
She was the host of the ESPYs, by the way.
I mean, granted, she's not a comedian, but I don't think she was terrible.
Well, it's not like they're her jokes anyway.
No, someone wrote them for her.
She just reads a script.
Yeah.
We also have Hot Takes by Larry Fedora.
Well, yeah, we didn't get to this yesterday, that Larry, old science denier Larry, he's on one. This is from the ACC Media Day, and it's fantastic. And also, we quoted Lillard yesterday about his basketball camp, ooh, about the Blazers offseason. Have you actually heard the audio of it?
No.
It's better. So they played this on Dirt and Sprague. Lynch, will you go find this? Because it sounds even better and more disgusted coming from him. Than just reading it.
You mean like tone-wise?
Yeah, just tone-wise. It's wonderful. when you listen to how excited Lillard is about the offseason.
Is he excited like Gordon Hayward?
Daddy's always happy.
I think Gordon Hayward sounds more excited than Damian Lillard does about their offseason.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Anyway, yeah, that too. Let's play that. I want to play that. I mean, there's just a lot to do
here. Anthem news. Did you see they tried to declare the Miami Dolphins are giving a big FU to the protest? And then did you see the new, they're trying to clarify the helmet rule in the NFL and it's more confusing than ever?
Yes.
I still have no idea what this is going to look like when football actually starts.
Well, you know, football's under attack, right?
Well, according to Larry Fedora, it's not just football, Rob. It's America. It's our military. The very fabric of our world is under attack.
Okay, but next, let's start with this. What happens if Kawhi Leonard refuses to play?
Ooh, this could be fun.
Which he won't.
No.
But here is the definitive answer on what happens if he says, I don't want to play for you.
And no.
And I'll give you a hint. He won't do that.
No.
316 on the Fan.
Is a British Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, 321 on The Fan. It's your afternoon show. Your afternoon bros. We do have the Damian Lillard audio here. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Now, is this him discussing all the big offseason Blazers moves?
Yeah, he was at his camp, and someone asked him what he thought about the Blazers offseason. And we read the quote yesterday, but I actually heard the audio of it today, and he sounds even more thrilled in his own words than just reading them off paper.
Before I play it, I wanted to tell you, while I'm thinking about it,
sure,
that I went back, and as a noted newsman, I had to get to the bottom of this as to whether or not that was Damian Lillard out there spinning around on his
jet skis or wave
runner out in the Willamette here next to us.
Yeah, no one uses a jet ski anymore, right? It's all wave runners.
I don't know. What's the difference?
Jet skis you stand up on.
Oh, well, you can stand up on a wave runner.
No, jet skis are like you can't sit down on a jet ski.
Yeah, but you can stand up on a wave runner.
Yeah, I suppose you can.
If you wanted to.
Yeah.
But it has a seat.
Yeah. Willamette.
So they were out here. He and his bros were out here, you know, doing donuts and stuff and going really fast on their wave runners right outside the building here. And I swear to God, that was him. Well, I went back and I did some research into his past Instagram posts on his wave runner.
Yeah.
That was him.
Really?
Because it's the same.
Same wave runner?
It's the same wave runners. The blue, they're all really nice. There's like 10 of them. They're all black guys. One looked exactly like him. And he was on, this time he was on the green one, but on his pictures he was on, they had several blue ones.
So look
he
at,
was on the blue
look
one.
Look at you.
So Damian Lillard.
Yeah, he.
Right out here.
He tools around on the wave runner, right on the banks right of the here. 1080 The Fan studios.
Yeah, because he lives down south, so I assume they drop in and
yeah, maybe you should go out there and try to flag him down. Like, what's up, bro?
So
let's do this.
All right, here's the audio. It's like 47 seconds long.
Yeah.
And these are his thoughts on
the Blazers offseason.
Sports.
We lost some guys that played great minutes for us. Like I said, in Vegas, you know, Ed gave us great minutes all season long. A vet. Same thing with Pat. Same thing with Baz. And we came into the offseason saying, you know, we want to get better. And, you know, we want to take steps forward and, you know, go after some vets. And, you know, we tried, I guess. We tried to get guys to come here in free agency. You know, I'm pretty sure we tried everything that we could to try to improve the team. And we made the moves that we made. And like I said, for me, I just got to go out there and do what I do. You know, it's really nothing I can do about it. You know, it's out of my control. So what I can control is how I improve and how I come into next season and how I lead the charge. So, you know, we'll see.
We'll see. That's a man that sounds supremely confident and happy with the offseason direction.
Well, he's clearly not happy.
No.
I mean, I don't know. He's just taking the high road there.
Yes.
He's saying the right things.
Daddy's always happy.
But why would...
Yeah.
It didn't sound as bad as I thought, but he's not happy.
That sounded like a man that is in any way satisfied or content.
No, but you made it sound like he was going to sound disgusted. And I think he didn't. He just took the high road.
I like... We made the moves we made, I guess. So, yeah.
But he says he's happy.
Go out and play. Well, he says he's really happy with the city, and he talks about it's a deeper connection.
Oh.
I truly believe 100% that he loves playing here.
Yeah, that I agree with. But
yes.
But at some point, again, I sound like a broken record saying this. At some point, these guys are all the same, and don't think Damian Lillard's any different. He's going to want to play with guys who are on his level.
Yeah.
Period.
He would like to play with them here, but if he can't,
yeah, that's right.
He'll find someone else.
Yeah. So he's, as RJ says, he's disappointed, but he remains a pro. He's always going to be a pro. He's smart like that. So we'll, you know, I don't know. We'll see, man. How many years left on his deal? Three?
I think he's got four, but I think the third one, obviously, is when you go into the last one is when you kind of got to make a decision, because you can't let guys like that walk for nothing, like LaMarcus Aldridge.
I think his biggest, the biggest hurdle, and I wonder if Paul Allen and he talked about this. I can't imagine Paul Allen told him this, but I think his biggest problem is he wants them to make moves and the owner's just not engaged. Right, like Paul Allen, you know, if you're star player of what you know of the Blazers and Paul Allen, the stars over the years, if they go to Paul Allen and they say, "Man, come on, what are we doing here?" He makes moves, dude. He is not afraid, right?
Yes.
Am I wrong about that?
No, you are not.
That's his reputation. Yet the last 2 years, especially since the last CBA, he hasn't done anything.
No, I mean, they re-signed their own guys, and since then, they kind of put themselves, they hamstrung themselves, but...
He hadn't done anything. So what I'm saying is, Lillard's going to want... He's barking up a tree that normally would give him what he wants, but I think where Paul Allen's at right now, I've been saying this for a long time now, I think Paul Allen is as disengaged as ever, because he was one of the guys in the room during the last collective bargaining agreement, screaming from the mountaintops for small market teams.
And it didn't work.
Everything fell the other way. Well, he didn't get anything. So I think what Paul Allen is saying is, man, I can't compete. And so that to me is the catalyst for signing all those guys that Neil Olshey signed, is that Paul Allen's like, well, we got a good, at that time, they thought, well, we got a good young core. Let's see what they grow into, because F it. I mean, we're not getting freaking LeBron James. We're not getting free agents. We can't build a super team here. And the league has made that hard for us to do in a market like this. So screw it. Just sign him. Well, I think everything, all his tells since then have been the guy's kind of meh. And he's never been like that. Paul Allen's not like that. He loves this team. He loves to wheel and deal and try to win. And it's just not the same. And so I think, no matter how much Damian Lillard says, hey, come on. I think it's bad timing. Paul Allen's not there. That's why I said I think that he may sell at some point within the next 5 years.
Well, I looked at his contract. There's 3 years left on it. So in 2 years, you know, you're going to have to make a decision. And he's going to have to make a decision. Because I don't think you can go into the final year of that deal and just be like, oh, it's all hunky-dory. You have to know that he's committed long-term and that you're committed long-term. He'll be 30 years old at the end of this deal with 3 years left on it. And then to kind of what you were talking about there, I think they've tried. I just think they're in a really difficult place. We know that they swung and missed on Dwight Howard, which was a risky move.
No, I don't think they missed. I think Dwight Howard wanted too much money, and they were like, no way.
They swung and missed on Boogie Cousins. They swung and missed on Paul George. By all accounts, they had a better offer on the table for Paul George than what Oklahoma City did, but because of the Kevin Pritchard thing, they wouldn't do it. So I think they've kicked tires on things. I think they've at least explored them. There just either hasn't been a willingness to move CJ, which is, you know, you can debate that all you want, but they're not going to do it. And they haven't been able to get anything done.
Like
the DeMarcus Cousins, you know, Nurkic thing, there has been something that has stopped them. But I don't think it's because of a lack of effort. I think they've tried. But again, that's ultimately your job as a GM and as an organization to make those things. No one gives you points for trying. But I do think that they realize that there is a clock ticking. And I think they're trying to fulfill that. And they just haven't been able to do it.
I don't know how much they've tried. I don't know if I buy that. I think that the proof's in the pudding over the last 2 years. And I don't know, I just line up the things that have, that indicate that Paul Allen's in the same place with this team that he's always been. Line up the evidence. It's just not there. I mean, it's different now. And to the tune of letting Ed Davis walk out the door for $4 million.
Yeah.
He doesn't care, man. He's checked out. And that, I don't know. We'll see where that ultimately, you know, that may be fine for now because nobody's beating the Warriors anyway.
No.
But we're talking about this because where does that leave Damian Lillard when he's ready to really go? He's 28. He's already made
his money. He's got $200 million contract. Well, no, he's got a $200 million Adidas shoe deal.
Yeah, I'm saying he's already made ripples with the owner, having met with him, like saying, "Hey, you know, come on." He's being professional, but at some point, he's just like all the others.
I'll be interested to see what happens if they have a rough year and slide back a little bit, and a little bit can be 3-4 games. You can find yourself out of the West. They're going to be in a dogfight to make the playoffs. And if they end up as an 8 seed and get swept by Golden State or God forbid, they don't make the postseason, that's what I'll be interested to see what that does to Lillard's mentality in the offseason.
You know where they are.
If he doesn't go from being cordial and kind of doing the right PR moves, if he doesn't then kind of take it into a little bit of a higher gear.
You know where they are in the West? Odds to win the conference? Just looked at it today. They're all out now because of all the trades and all the...
Probably somewhere between 7 and 9.
They're 12th.
Are they really?
Yep.
Do they have like Denver ahead of them, Utah?
I'll go look it up. Yeah, all those teams are ahead. 12? Yep, New Orleans ahead of them, Denver, Utah. Lakers, of course, jump them. So, yeah.
Yikes. I mean,
you know, they're not... You know, anyway. So there's Damian Lillard audio for you. Why are you laughing?
Just the way you said that.
All right. Coming up next. Oh, I was going to tell you why Kawhi Leonard is not going to not play for the Raptors.
What? No, he's not going to play. Okay.
He is not going to play.
All right. I'm with you.
What happens if Kawhi Leonard refuses to play? We'll tell you next. Here's Mike.
This is a British Open Week edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right. Talking sports. It's The Fan. They call it that because, you know, fans, sports, it's like a...
Fan addict. It's a clever play on words.
Right.
1080 is where you can find us. So 1080 The Fan.
So, hey, I'm looking up the odds here.
Mm-hmm.
From Jimmy, sweet Jimmy Shapiro. Here they are. Okay, so this is the odds to win the West of the NBA. Warriors, Rockets, Lakers, Thunder. Those are your top four.
Makes sense.
Warriors are 4-9. Rockets 9-2. Lakers 5-1. And then Thunder 25-1. So those are top four. Spurs are still 40-1. Jazz 50-1. Nuggets 75-1. Timberwolves 75-1. Pelicans 85-1. Then your Portland Trailblazers.
Your Portland Trailblazers.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10th. Sorry, I said 12. 10th. Dallas is next. Then the Clippers, Grizzlies, Suns, and Kings.
It's going to be tough. They're in a fight for their playoff lives. Someone said, you know, correctly, they were closer to the 8 seed than they were the 2 seed last year.
Right in the middle.
What, 3 games separated them? Without that gnarly winning streak that they went on, what, 13 in a row and like 16 out of 18, something like that, there's a good chance they don't make the postseason, and the West got tougher. So, you know, nothing's guaranteed this season.
Well,
and they were really healthy last year, too.
Here's another interesting thing. And that is that, you know, they got a trade exception in the Allen Crabbe deal.
Yeah, but it expires in, what, a week?
So it's a $13 million trade exception, which allows them to bring in a lopsided salary. They can pay a guy more.
Yeah.
And there are veterans out there. And Neil O'Shea talked about, we got to get some veteran help, some guys that we can count on in the playoffs. And Damian Lillard said that in that clip we played last segment, mm-hmm. right? They have until next Wednesday, a week from yesterday, to execute that, to find a guy for that, or it goes away.
Yeah.
So again, keep your eye on this. And I'm telling you, I think it's going to go away. And what does that tell you about where Paul Allen's head is at and where he's at in terms of his engagement with this team?
Because if I'm not mistaken, so far they've brought in players this offseason with 0 playoff games, not one underneath their belt, which would be exactly the opposite of what the plan was coming in. So you can either go off of your approach of just checked out and no one really cares, or this has just been a colossal failure. If you want to go down that road of you tried and you failed at everything, and either way,
neither is good.
It's not good. It's not super promising for the season. So it'll be interesting to see as you roll into next season, just where this team ends up sitting in the West, because excuse me, despite what Neil will tell you about being the three seed and all this progress you've made, I don't think that there has been a ton of progress.
Bifurcate.
You know, at the very best, you treaded water. I don't think you can say you got better in the offseason. And you look around you in the West, everyone got better. At least all the teams that you were competing against, including one that didn't make the playoffs last year, which is the Lakers.
So what happens if Kawhi Leonard refuses to play? This is a key narrative. You know, this is one we heard from a lot of Blazer fans yesterday going, you know, it's like, I think it makes it helps them feel better that the Blazers didn't, you know, jump into the Kawhi Leonard stuff, knowing that Kawhi Leonard wouldn't want to play in Portland, right? Yeah. So you don't want him anyway, right? But he can't just sit out. He can't refuse to play. This is why I was saying that whole idea that he doesn't want to go play in Toronto is a little overblown. You certainly want him engaged, but he's going to play there. And they're going to be a good team. Mm-hmm. And if he's healthy, who knows? Maybe he ends up re-signing there. I mean, they've said that about Paul George. He'll be with the Lakers in a year. What just happened? He signed with Oklahoma City.
People forget, Toronto was the number one seed. And no offense to DeMar DeRozan, but he can't hold anything that Kawhi Leonard runs out onto the floor. So you add Kawhi Leonard to that mix, and Boston should be the odds-on favorite. But
And they are.
And they are.
If you look at the odds in the East, it's Boston, Philly, and Toronto, the top three.
But you add, and no offense again to Philadelphia, which has two talented players, and then a guy in Markel Fultz that you don't know what the hell he's going to give you, but... Boy, there's no one on Philadelphia's roster that can come close to what Kawhi Leonard's doing. And this goes back to your point. I just think people have forgotten how good Kawhi Leonard is.
Well, I think now the narrative is, well, he's a baby and he's a malcontent.
He's a pain in the ass. No one wants him.
He's a cancer and he doesn't want to play anywhere. And so that's why you don't want him. Bull crap.
Exactly.
And so the CBA, you know, it's he's going to be forced to play. So here's the deal. This is literally what happens if he were to refuse to play. He can be punished for each practice in each game that he misses, and they can punish him up to his full salary. Yeah. So he's going to make $20.1 million in Toronto. He could eventually, if he just sits out, he makes $0 for the season.
Yeah.
It nets out zero, right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
The CBA says if he sits out more than 30 days, he could also lose his free agent status until the Raptors agree to let him go.
Yeah.
That's a key one because he wants to be a free agent and go to LA, right?
So this happens the same thing in the NFL. Like, guys can hold out for a certain point, but they have to accrue enough games
right
in order to get to free to get another year under their belt to get to free agency.
So here's how that rule reads. Quote, a player who withholds playing services called for by a contract for more than 30 days after the start of the last season covered by his contract shall be deemed not to have completed his player contract by rendering the playing services called for thereunder.
Yeah.
Accordingly, such a player shall not be a veteran free agent and shall not be entitled to negotiate or sign a player contract with any other basketball team unless and until the team for which the player last played expressly agrees otherwise. So he can't go to the Lakers if he sits out. He's not going to sit out. The other one is if he claims injury, what the Raptors have the right to do is call in a neutral physician, and a neutral physician will then decide if he's hurt. He also, you need to remember that Kawhi Leonard has an interest in proving that he's healthy. Why not play? You know, you're only hurting yourself, not only monetarily, but your own reputation, which he's already kind of hurt by being kind of a witch about all this.
Exactly.
So he needs to get it. He has an interest in getting in there and showing that he's healthy and showing that he's engaged and wants to play.
There's just no way he sits out. As much of a, I get as people are saying, as much as a, you know what, he's been in San Antonio. There's no way he will report and play.
So that's what I'm saying. That whole thing is overblown.
Exactly.
And we're using it as an excuse. It's like, oh, Toronto got ripped. No, Toronto, smart move to go get him. They just now, and there was a report today that their talks with him and his camp already have been very positive.
Yes.
It is on them to massage that relationship and get him engaged and get him in there and say, all right, let's go. Let's do this. Even if it's for a year.
And you hope that you make a run to the finals and that's enough to convince him that, hey, we can really build something here. And Toronto's a cool city. It's not a Los Angeles, but it certainly is a bigger market. And
those taxes, though.
Yeah, taxes can be a, you know what.
What do they say, 64% or something?
Something like that. Yeah, it's quite painful.
But anyway.
So we'll see what happens. But someone did point out too that, you know, he could cause a stir up there. Like what if he illegally entered Canada? Remember the gal that was from Canada and walked into the United States and she was arrested and held for like 7 days? like you cross the border and you're not supposed to be there, you can get booted out of a country. So maybe that's what Kawhi Leonard needs to do. Go up to Canada, cause a problem, get into a little scuffle up there, cross the border, maybe under the cover of night, get into a little bit of a bar fight, and get kicked out of the entire country. And then it's not his fault. Okay, sorry, Toronto bros. I want to play. Won't let me in your country. Nothing I can do.
Well, and for those asking, why didn't the Spurs take some of these measures last year? I don't know the answer to that.
Well, because they couldn't prove that he was healthy. You know,
but again, the you have the right to call in a neutral physician.
And I think that lets you know that, one, they weren't trying to nuke this relationship, first and foremost.
Right.
They were trying to massage this. They offered him the max deal. So they're not going to go down this road of trying to piss off Kawhi Leonard. And second, I think he really probably was between 75 and 80%. You have to prove that he is not hurt at all. You have to get an independent physician to come in and be like, this is a fake injury.
Yeah, right. They said he was hurt. It's just they disagreed on
how
the
bad
severity of the injury.
Could he play through it? So that's you're not going to get a doctor to say, like, for me, right? Like, I've got a bad shoulder or whatever. You can make an argument that I can play through it. You can say, look, that, you know, it's a pain threshold thing. But you have to get a doctor in this circumstance to come in and be like, his shoulder is 100% fine. There's nothing wrong with that. He's faking an injury. And good luck getting that. In fact, who is it? Kyrie Irving did this. Kyrie Irving, when he forced the trade out of Cleveland, he told the Cavaliers that if you don't deal me, I will have knee surgery. He didn't have to have that knee surgery, but he said, look, I can go in and I can get my knees worked on and I'll sit out the entire year. Now, it turned out eventually he did have to have that knee surgery. So medical records and doctors and independent physicians, when you're talking about an athlete's body, that's a lot harder to prove than anyone, you know, than anyone just saying, well, he's faking something.
All right, up next, let's clarify the helmet rule.
I don't know if I can.
You have to. This is on you.
The NFL competition committee can't seem to clarify it.
I think you can do it.
See what I can do.
My faith. 347 on the Fan.
This is a British Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling.
On 1080 The Fan.
We'll check in at the Open next hour. A couple things going on in the NFL. We got a guy who's saying he will protest the anthem. Jarrell Casey of Titans.
The Titans want to talk to him. The Titan brass has been like, Mr. Casey, can we have a chat? And then the Dolphins have just come out and basically said, F you, you're not going to protest. The Dolphins are the first team to actually put language in where they're saying they'll suspend you, possibly up to 4 games, if you do kneel.
So the league left it up to the teams, is what I understand.
So the league put the language in there where what was it? You either have to stand or stay in the locker room, right? You can do one of the two.
Right.
But it also said in the piece, and this is another thing, and by the way, the NFLPA is going to fight the you-know-what out of this, because it said in there that the NFL said if the teams want, they can make their own policy. And the Dolphins apparently have gone, was it Stephen Ross, I think, is their owner? He has come out and they've done this and said that if you kneel for the anthem in Miami, you will be fined. You will be suspended up to 4 games. So it didn't set forth exactly how that's going to be determined. My guess is how good of a player you are, how many times you do it, you know, things of that nature, what the reaction to this is. But the Dolphins apparently are going to try to put something on the books where they can punish guys by sitting them. I'd like to see if they have the balls. If their starting quarterback or their starting left tackle or whatever goes out and takes a knee, are you willing to suspend your starting quarterback for 4 games for doing what was collectively bargained, which was his right to go out and kneel?
I wonder how many guys are planning what Jarrell Casey's planning. He's a defensive tackle for the Titans. I mean, this is the first guy to come out and say, yes, I am going to protest.
Yeah, he said, I'll pay the fine.
But I wonder if there are any others.
I don't know. He's the first guy to say it. Now, the Dolphins have said that no decisions have been made on the punishment, but, quote, all options are on the table.
Ah, yes.
The ever-present, all options on the table.
Players are now protesting the protest rule.
Yes. Well, the NFLPA is fighting this because people always ask this question, well, I'm not allowed to kneel at my office. Well, you're also not required to stand for the national anthem. Everything in the NFL is collectively bargained. Everything. from salaries to guaranteed contracts to the number of practices you have, the number of padded practices you have. Did you know the length of practices are collectively bargained? Like, if you wanted to, you can't go out and hold a four-hour practice. The guy can tell you to go F yourself and be like, no. In fact, there's been teams, Seattle Seahawks, that have been fined for having too many padded practices or going too long in practices.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would imagine some of those coaches want to keep those guys out there 24-7.
Yeah, right? And it doesn't work that way. So it was collectively bargained that there wasn't the anthem policy. Well, the NFL came out and said, no, this is the unilateral thing that we're going to do. This is the new policy. And they're using those broad guidelines. There's something in the CBA, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it basically, if something is viewed as a detriment to the reputation and finances of the league, there's language like that where the NFL can make sweeping changes. And they're trying to use that in terms of the anthem policy. And the NFLPA, by the way, is going to fight back against this and say, how is this hurting us? And my guess is they're probably going to look at the revenue sharing and the fact that everything's up and the league's revenues are up and say, how is this possibly hurting the league or the reputation of the league? And so they're going to fight back against this, but we're not done. The anthem thing is going to go round and round.
You know, the NBA and the WNBA, you know what the rule is on the anthem for those?
You have to stand.
Yep. It's a very simple rule. It's 2.5 lines, and it says players, coaches, and trainers are to stand and line up in a dignified posture along the sidelines or on the foul line during the playing of the national anthem.
Yes, and if you remember, Chris Jackson was his name, and then he changed it to, he played at LSU. He became a Muslim, and he changed his name, and I don't remember 100% what he changed to, but you know who I'm talking about?
Of course.
Yeah, that Chris Jackson.
Mahmoud Abdul Rauf.
Yes. It basically cost him his career.
Just what you were thinking.
Yeah, it was. I was trying to remember exactly what it was. But he basically got blackballed by the league because he wouldn't stand for the national anthem. He thought that it was, you know, it was his right, and he was trying to do his own protest, and he got drummed out of that league because of it. But yes, there is rules, but again, those are collectively bargained.
Right.
The players agreed to that. The NFL players never agreed to this. And I hope the NFL knows what they're doing and what the Dolphins know what they're doing, because the Dolphins can sit there and say that they're going to spend guys and fine them. What if you get the team that wants to have some solidarity and goes out and be like, great, 50 of us are going to take a knee. Go ahead, suspend us. Do you really want to get into a measuring contest over this?
Replacement players.
I guess.
That might be a job that might be an opening for you return to the league.
I just tore my rotator cuff.
They'll call you.
An MRI today. So
put a shot in it.
I'm out of commission for a while.
Come on. What are you, a wuss?
I can't raise my arm above my head.
Let's get you in that little.
You don't need to do that.
What do they have? Those little.
Hyperbaric chambers?
No, on the sideline, you know,
medical tents. Yeah.
Yeah, let's get you in that medical tent. We'll get you all lubed up, and we'll get you out there.
Go out there and run.
Guarantee you can lift your hand above your head after that tent.
I tell you, some Toradol, and I would. I'd be able to work that arm. I need to gain about, 50 pounds. I'm right there.
Okay, next, the other NFL issue is this whole, I assume you're talking about the targeting rule.
Yeah, well, it's not even targeting anymore. It's just, you can't hit anyone with the upper part of your helmet.
Well, that's because the game's under attack.
Yes, according to Larry Fedora, not just the game, the entire country,
the world,
and our way of life.
Oh yeah, not the world. That would be ridiculous. No,
just the United States.
Okay, we'll get to that next, and then we'll check in at the Open at Carnoustie 358 on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.